My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Ginger, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. As I was saying before we started recording, I'm really excited to hear about your Sunday basket. And I usually focus on how much time is saved, and you are going to bring a different dynamic to that. And we'll get into that in a minute. But before we get started, how did you first find Organize 365?
I believe I actually found out about Organize 365 from the Minimal Mom YouTube show, Dawn Madsen. She had a Sunday basket. So she talked about on her, and I love the Minimal Mom and others. I've been looking at decluttering and downsizing for a good while. And so when she talked about the Sunday basket, I found your podcast and started listening to the podcast. And I said, this sounds good. So I looked online and I said, let me start with the Sunday basket.
Awesome. Okay. So tell us about who lives with you in your household.
Currently, it is my husband, Doug, and we have a 21-pound cuddle kitty. He's a black and white tuxedo, and he's a slug, as you might describe. But I've also got two grown adult children that live out of town, so they really have flown the nest. It's comes.
That's a big cat, Ginger. That's a fairly large cat.
He is, but he's sweet.
How old is he?
He is 11 years old, and he was a big kitten to begin with. I mean, we got him as a rescue, but we think he is probably, you know, part of a breed, either Maine Coon or something like that, that is naturally big cat.
Big cat. Oh, my goodness. So you're in the empty nesting phase of your life.
I am.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I'm on my second retirement career because when my daughter went off to college, I became a nutritionist for about 5 years. And now for the past 2 years, I've been a part-time realtor. So I just, you know, I'm like you, I've got to keep on learning, keep on doing new things.
Great. Yeah. I'm actually already thinking about the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Like, once you realize you could do a bunch of things, you're like, and I've got a long time to live, the good Lord willing. So I'm like, you know, just add them into pink slash pockets and maybe they'll come to fruition.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to make it to 100. My grandmother lived till 96 and my mother will be 95 in September.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. Yes. I have the same aspirations. I'm always saying to Greg, you know, he's like, so-and-so celebrated whatever birthday. I'm like, that's a good start. And he's like, Lisa. And I'm like, yes, we got to make it to 100, Greg. We got to make it to 100.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So you were already watching YouTube videos about getting organized. So what is your organization journey? Like, you know, what was it about the Sunday basket and what had you done up until this point?
I mean, I was always a fairly organized person by nature. I mean, for my career, I was vice chancellor of our local university. I had 10 or 11 departments working for me, two kids. I was a single mom for part of that time. So I had to be organized. But as I got a little bit older, there was just too much stuff. So I began decluttering as I could, first with my kids' stuff, with my clothes, listening to The Minimal Mom, listening to Joshua Becker and some others. But it was not really a process as such. I could never know when I was finished.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I just had these ongoing to-do lists in my head. I would write them down, but then I'd think of something and write it down, and then I'd look at that long list, and I'd get nervous. So when I heard about the Sunday basket and, you know, putting things in there and you just forget it till Sunday, that sounded great to me.
Now, a lot of people say you forget about it till Sunday, and their first concern is, but then what on Sunday? Now, you were excited about forgetting it till Sunday. So are you someone that has good habits and routines that you knew you would look at it on Sunday? Or were you, so you were not nervous about putting it there and then forgetting it? You're like, okay, great, I can do that on Sunday. Like, that would fit into something you'd already worked on, that kind of a habit system.
Oh yeah. I'm a very organized, habit-driven person. I have a morning routine. I have cooking. I mean, it really started when I started having food allergies in 2008. I had to get systematic about my food. So yeah, putting in the Sunday basket routine was not a problem for me. I mean, I don't always do it on Sunday afternoon or evening, but I do it either, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, could be Monday morning, but it gets each weekend.
So the idea of taking all these ideas and putting them somewhere and then processing them once on the weekend, you're like, that's probably going to work for me.
Absolutely.
So before you started, you're like, okay, that's probably going to work for me. What did you anticipate would be the outcome of doing that?
I wasn't really sure exactly, but I knew the outcome I did get was a huge reduction in anxiety and squirrel mind, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Just bopping from one thing to the other mentally, it enabled me to say, no, I don't have to think about that. If I had an idea to do something, I could put it in my Sunday basket and then schedule it, either do it on Sunday or schedule it for the next week. It got rid of the anxiety and the squirrel mind.
Do you filter what you write down on an index card, or do you just write down everything?
I write down everything. I truly don't have the habit yet. That's my one habit I've got to do. Maybe keep them with me or something. Things will go through my mind and it'll be fleeting and I don't write it down right then. That's the one habit I've got to keep on working on.
Yeah, it is odd. I write down everything. So the way to have that be successful is you literally have to have paper all the time in all the places. I have like 12 different places where I have index cards or those little organized 365 pads of paper. I like those because it's not like all these random index cards in my purse. And so when I'm really in a good train of thought, I'll grab that little pad and I'll write an idea, flip it, write an idea. And then I'll just tear off sometimes half the pad of ideas. And then when I get to the end of the day, I'm like, okay, these have to be done now. And all the rest of these go in the Sunday basket. And I'm like, wow, that's like I go through a lot of pieces of paper or index cards in a day. I should track how many I do in a week. It's a ton. But I agree with you in that I'm so much more focused now. And my focus lasts so much longer, mm-hmm. which I didn't really realize until you guys on these interviews started explaining it to me. And I was like, oh yeah, that happens to me as well. So I have my phone with me all the time. And I know you could digitally do things. I find that if I save it in any kind of an app on the phone, it does not work for me. The only way I can use my phone if I don't have paper and if it's a really good idea that I don't want to forget is I email it to myself and then it's in the email and then I can either put it on a piece of paper or print out the email. Have you tried that?
I haven't, but that's a great idea. And I'm exactly like you. I don't like to use my phone. I have to have it paper. I have a paper planner. I use the phone scheduling very little. If I have to, I use it, but I forget it. If it's in writing, I see it.
Yeah. If it's digital, it's like, it does not exist for me. Like obviously I run my company digitally, but like for actionable to-dos or things I need to remember, like, and then people try to help me. They're like, I see you have an Apple Watch. You can do this with reminders with whatever. And then I try it and it works for like maybe even a couple of days, but then I forget it because it's not the habit. Like the writing it down is the habit. That's the only habit that's worked for me consistently.
I agree.
Okay. So you started writing down your things. You put them in the Sunday basket to deal with it on Sunday. What was the first couple Sundays like?
I had to really think about it. I had to look at the videos. For the first few weeks, I used at least part of the time on the app and did the co-working because the ideas you have from just that session are really good. So I had to think about it. And I still don't have necessarily all the slash pockets I need, or I find I'll have some and then I don't really need them and take them apart. But I think it's better to set up a slash pocket and figure out you don't need it later on than not have it and then just have stuff stack up.
So in addition to being able to write down your to-dos and put them in the basket, how does the Sunday basket help you get them done or delay them until the next week? Like, especially because you mentioned anxiety, I would think that you get to Sunday, now you have all your to-dos. Great. They're all in one place. What is your process for deciding what you're going to do now, what you're going to delay, and what you're going to decide not to do at all and just get rid of?
Well, I love your idea of if it can be put off to next week, do put it off. So I do that to a great extent. I mean, the bills I pay right away. There's certain errands you'll have to do that in that week. But other things, if there are ideas, for example, with my real estate business, I write some blogs, I'll put it in my real estate folder. And then the ideas for writing my blogs are just there. I see the ideas and then I'll do it. I'm on several volunteer groups and I'll put the agendas for the next meeting in there. So you just don't have to think about it until that time. I've got some projects I want to do for the house and I just stick it in the house renovation packet and maybe we'll never get to it or maybe we will. But then if I have a little bit of time or on planning day, I'll pull those out and figure out which one of these do I actually want to do this next 3 or 4 months.
So it's almost kind of like a triaging of to-dos. So it's all the ideas go in there and then you organize them and like, okay, these are going to get done this week. These are my next ideas. And then these are more long-term ideas, but I want to be able to put my hands on them when I need them.
Exactly. Before the Sunday basket, I just had these little long-term ideas. They were scattered throughout the house or sitting in my head or sitting in my phone. And that did create mental anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So are you coming to planning day?
I am.
Have you been to planning day before?
I have. I've been to two of them. This one, I'm not positive if I'll be able to come live because my husband and I are going to be at the beach.
Oh, enjoy.
So I'm going to take my notebook with me. We have a condo at Hilton Head. I'm going to take my notebook and if I can do it, I will. But I'll look at the recording when we get back and I can sit and concentrate.
Mm-hmm. And we are not doing a live chat anymore. So there is a little bit more accountability when you do it live because you just know you're doing it live. But the replay, you're not going to miss anything in the replay. So enjoy the time with your husband. And
thanks.
Then give yourself a day to do planning day. What do you like about planning day? Or what have you noticed that is different about planning day? Because you're obviously an organized, planned person. How is planning day different than the other planning that you've done?
Well, for a few years, I'd been making this year-long list of things to do or things I wanted to do, but it was like it was overwhelming. When am I going to do this? When am I going to do that? Even some of it was habit changes. You know, when am I going to do that? So having a planning day with a shorter period of time has enabled me just to pick out two or three of those ideas that I have maybe on my year long. Okay, I'm going to work on giving up sugar this month and really get control of that, as an example. Or, you know, we're trying to get our house ready to resell at some point. So I'm going to go through and touch up all our woodwork. That's one I think I'm going to have for the next 4 weeks or 4 months. So it's just given, you know, making it over a shorter period of time just makes it more doable.
And when you get ready for a planning day or after we do planning day, I find that I also do a deep dive into my Sunday basket. Do you do the same?
I don't think I did the last time, but I am going to this time. And I may try to do that before I go out of town and see which things I want to toss and which things I want to put on my maybe list and then use that to help hone down what I'm going to do for the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. And I think I love how you said what I'm going to toss. So sometimes I will keep things in my Sunday basket for literally years and keep adding ideas to that. And then I'll just say, you know what? I'm not doing that. Like an example would be for decades, I have wanted to be a keynote speaker and go and be a keynote speaker at conferences. And I decided a couple months ago, I don't want to do that anymore. Like I can do it. But it's not the thing that I'm uniquely created to do. And there are other things I'd rather do. And I actually just got rid of all of my notes for that, like, which of course probably means it's going to happen. You know, that also happens. But sometimes that freedom of just like, yeah, you know, I want to live to be 100. I've got 49 years to do things. Doesn't mean that I have to do everything. And occasionally you can just say like, that isn't going to be one of the things I do in the next 49 years.
Exactly. Exactly. I wanted to do some. Yeah, it is. I wanted to do some sort of painting or calligraphy, and I had all the stuff. And I said, no, that just takes up clutter. I want to get rid of it. So I got rid of it. So I have, my hobby is pickleball now.
Oh my gosh, everybody loves pickleball.
It is fun. It's a good hobby for those like me who are not really all that athletic. It's a doable sport.
Now, wait a minute. I haven't heard that part of it before. Give me the sales pitch on pickleball then, because I was like not athletic, like not even listening to people. So now I'm intrigued.
It's a smaller court. It's about the size of a volleyball court, I think. And you play doubles. So you don't have to move much. It's it's a ball, plastic ball with holes in it, and you just don't have to move. If you look at some people playing.
Sounds great to me.
It is. And
a
it's
non-sport
something,
sport.
Yeah, it is. And my husband is very athletic, but I'm not. So it was a sport we could do together.
Huh.
And it's fun.
All right, well, I was not going to look into it, but now I'm thinking, you know, are there fun outfits?
Oh, yes. They're cute.
Oh, I'm in. I love the outfits more than the event.
Cute.
So they're actually outfits?
Yeah, they're skorts. Cute little skorts, you know, skirt with the shorts in it and all kinds of tops. And you can get matching colors.
All right. Not going to say that it's going to be a thing, but it might become an index card after this interview.
Okay.
Because that could be a fun date thing, you know?
Exactly.
But I don't like to sweat. So like, I don't want to bring out a sweat.
Well, often in our town, we have pickleball at our local recreation center inside in the gym. It's air conditioned.
Nice. Yeah. I'm loving this whole thing. Okay. So what else do you want to tell us about the Sunday basket, about this? It seems to me like this came at the right time for you and it fit into a system you already have. And this was a fairly easy to establish habit for you.
It was. And for people who aren't naturally organized, it's the first thing I recommend. because it gives you an easy, systemized way to set up your organization for the week, to write down your activities, to write down the appointments you have, to write down the tasks or the things you want to do. Since I work part-time, I really do a combination, probably Sunday basket workbox all together.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because it's blended. I don't have separate ones, but that could work as well. If you're working full-time, the workbox, and you're not organized, that would be great.
So you got a win from the Sunday basket. You already... pretty organized person. You follow the best declutterers out there. So I'm thinking you're decluttered. You do planning day. Anything else that you, like after you had success with the Sunday basket, did you feel like you're like ready to go, or were there any other things you needed to add?
Well, I added after that, I did add the, I don't know what you're calling it now, but all access.
The productive
and
home
that's
solution.
When I did my first planning day. And I really liked the 100-day organization I did when you still had that. And it really just took one round for me. But I went through systematically pretty much the way your 100-day was set up. And I said, yeah, I'm organized. And that took away stress too. For instead of constantly thinking, oh, what can I declutter now? What can I declutter now? I can say, oh, I don't need to. I'm organized. I have the right amount of stuff. It's organized. I don't need to do anything else.
Okay, my husband. So I have said that decluttering leads to organizing, leads to increased productivity. You are already a productive person. You are following the best declutterers out there. You're really good at decluttering. And I have said, but I didn't have anybody else saying it back to me. I was just intonating that you can over declutter and you try to get organized by decluttering. And it's a organization is different than decluttering. And it sounds like you found the same thing. What would you have to say about that?
Yes, that's true. And I was already pretty organized, but it was like I kept going in a cycle. It was just now I can release it. Mm-hmm. I can just say, hey, I'm where I need to be and not worry about it. It's like with the Sunday basket. I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, if I have everything in a certain amount of space, if it gets too big, like, for example, books get more and more and more, then I say, okay, I'm not going to read these novels again. I'm going to donate them.
So you were about to say something about your husband.
He is not as, he doesn't have as little stuff as I do. He has more stuff. But I've learned to let it go and let him have it because it's not more than our house can handle. I just know he's got to do it in his own timeline.
Good, good. So you said that you really enjoyed the 100 days and how the 100 days is laid out. So I just want to allay everyone's fears that are now starting in the Productive Home Solution and they're all wondering what the 100 days is, or people who are in the 100 days are like, what is this Productive Home Solution thing? So after I did my academic level research and I discovered there are four different categories of home organization, the 100-day program only addressed the personal organizing and the family organizing. And so when you bought All Access back in the day, we addressed storage organizing in what I called From Hot Mess to Organized Storage bonus. That was like a 4-week bonus course. So the Productive Home Solution has just taken the Hot Mess course for storage, the 100 days for personal and family organization. And so all three of those pieces are now in the Productive Home Solution. And the other piece of All Access were the binders, which we'll talk about next. The binders have moved into their own course called the Paper Solution. So the Paper Solution plus the Productive Home Solution is what used to be All Access. And the Productive Home Solution has the family and personal organization from the 100-day. And all those lessons are still in there, plus a whole bunch of new ones we added in there. And it also adds in all the storage organization, which we re-recorded and beefed up. And then also when you do the Productive Home Solution now, it's a whole year's worth of organizing. So you could do it at a little bit of a slower and deeper pace. And we add in all of the blitzes. We add in all of the planning days. Like you have to pay for planning days, but there's a week there for planning. So whether you do planning with me or you do planning on your own, you have to do planning. Attending planning day is optional. Planning for the next 120 days, not optional. So that is baked into the system. So it really is like an academic curriculum of like, okay, I'm waking up, Thursday morning, I'm planning for my weekend in the next week. What is the organizational energy? What should I be focusing in on my week? And it's really just more of a cadence of maintenance going forward also once you get through and get it done. Mm-hmm. Because Ginger, you have access to the Productive Home Solution.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one thing. When you buy something, you get into whatever it becomes. You're in whatever it becomes.
And the last part that I did, they're not as good as I would like them, though, is the binders. And that is a wonderful thing. And particularly, I will say the two household binders as a real estate agent, those would come in so handy for people buying or selling homes. And I think I'm even going to start, or if those are available separately, I think I may start buying them for as a client gifts to help people keep the things they really need. And then when they get ready to sell their house, it's just there for them.
Yes. And that was the idea of the household reference binder, was for when you're selling the family home and you're settling an estate, you need to give all of this stuff to the new homeowner anyway. But also when you have the binder done, you will get more money for your house because there's transparency with the people who are buying, like, when was the roof last done? If you pull out a binder and you start flipping through and the potential owner sees you flipping through an organized binder and you can give them the answer on the spot without calling the homeowner, that is huge transparency. But secondly, when you do your listing and you mark down all the improvements that you've made since you last purchased, you will know all of the improvements that you've made because they are in the binder. Back when we created that binder 6-7 years ago, I always thought that it would add a lot of value and transparency in real estate transactions.
It will. And we've sold several estate homes where the families have had no idea. And it did lower the price when the people were not, they were concerned about the roof or the HVAC or something like that. And the children who were selling it, they had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you are the homeowner and you have your binder up to date, I mean, it is a huge weight off your descendants.
Absolutely.
And you're going to sell your home eventually. Like, I remember when I started Organize 365, I was like, I'll never sell my company. I will never sell my company. And then a few years ago, I really thought about it and I thought, well, Joey and Abby are not going to run Organize 365. So clearly, Lisa, you're going to sell it. Now, it's not for sale. I would like to work another 30 years at least. Like, I'm thinking Martha Stewart's 80. Like, talk to me when I'm 80. So 29 years from now. But also, I mean, someday this company will be sold. Someday the house that you are living in will be sold, either because it no longer fits your lifestyle and you want to get a new house, or someone will be selling it on your behalf. So there's not going to come a day when this dwelling that you're in is not going to be sold. So right. It is a great investment in your future. Your future self will thank you. But your descendants will also thank you if they are supporting your healthcare needs and your financial needs and everything else while they're also helping you sell this house. It's Mad Libs for adults. Like the workbook inside is, you know, it's the easy button. It's the scavenger hunt. You don't know what you don't know. Go through your file cabinet, go through your house and find it. And if you can't find it, go through your email, go through your messages and just start to piece together this puzzle that is the ownership of your home.
Yep, exactly. And I found that with the medical binder as well, because I had some health issues. And when I went to a new doctor, he was so excited. I can't believe you've got all these things listed and you have all this stuff down and you've got all the copies of your records. Even though they supposedly have electronic records these days, they don't cover everything.
They can be wrong. They could be wrong. They're hard to find. They're not there during the meeting. We'll check them after the meeting. None of us have time. Doctors don't also have extra magical time where they just go through the internet and find your records. Nobody has this kind of time. Paper just speeds everything up.
It does. even the financial binder. It just helps to have it online. And because my husband has certain accounts for his retirement, I have some to get all the numbers in the same place, the passwords. So yeah, you count on your computer to remember your passwords, but they don't always do that.
And how does your husband like the binders?
At first, it was a little funny for him because we used to have manuals and things like that stored elsewhere, but now he's fine with it. He needed the refrigerator book last week. He said, "Where is that?" So I just pulled out my binder and showed him, and then he put it back on top. He didn't fully file it, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's just a new system.
Exactly.
What else do you want to share about your organizing journey?
It has just made me realize how much stress being organized takes away from you, and having fewer items in your house takes away from you, and how much relief I'm going to give my children someday when I'm 100.
Yes, you know, when you're 100.
Yeah, it's a long time from now, but we've worked with several families who are selling houses that were packed to the gills from their parents. And it was such a, besides the, you know, grief of losing their family members, it was such a grief to get rid of all the stuff and the clutter and the things they had no idea were there, and they had no idea how old the roof was or the heating or the hot air system. So what I would say for people like me that maybe are empty nesters and you've still got good health and everything like that, do your husband a favor, do your kids a favor. Get yourself organized, use the Sunday basket, use the productive home solution in the binders so that you know where everything is and you have the right amount of stuff for you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I talk about my house like it's a person, like it's one of my kids. And we put so much time and energy into our kids and parenting and being available and providing for and you know, giving everything that we can emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially for them to be independent, sufficient adults that are doing what they're uniquely created to do. If you can add on just one more year of your parenting and consider your house like your last child, like when your last child has left the house, think about as if your house was going to kindergarten and you had to take care of your house for a year and do the productive solution and just say, you know, I am going to go through this 1 year for my house, and I'm going to get my house where it needs to be to support me as I can then fully go into all of the different things that I want to do in my empty nesting years, knowing that I have that big to-do checked off, because it is a to-do. Like, somebody has to organize the house. Somebody has to declutter it. Somebody has to maintain it. Like the work has to be done. So do it sooner rather than later. And give yourself a reward. Like, you can be like, every trimester after I do planning day, I do whatever my chore is, then I go on my little weekend trip or my week long trip or my month long trip or wherever you are in your life journey. That's what I'm doing with the PhD, just doing a little weekend trip at each break until I get through the PhD, which Greg really liked that. You could do the same thing, like a little carrot and then keep going. And honestly, if you put full effort into your house as if it was a child, like you did into your children, you will be done in 1 year.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll be done. And then you'll be able to really enjoy all these other things that you want to do and be so better prepared for the unexpected events that are going to come your way.
Absolutely. Because your parents, you know, my mother may have something and I've got to spend time with her, then I don't have to worry about my house or go see kids or hopefully someday grandchildren. So yeah, you get ready for that. You're available to do it and your house and isn't a disaster.
And to be available to people when they need support is such a gift. It's a gift you cannot buy, and you cannot give it if you don't have it. And so to be able to give that gift is, you know, you cannot even put it words on it or a price on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I usually say that organization gives you more time. It seems like you already had your time management under control before you started doing organizing. And while you probably have gotten more time, you said you've gotten a different gift than the gift of time from being organized.
I've gotten the gift of a peace of mind. I'm able to, in a way, forget about my house, about my home organization, and just do it and then kind of dream, how do I want, you know, am I using my time to what the Lord wants me to use it? And I'm able to do that without worrying about my house, about the stuff, about anything else, because I know it's there and on autopilot almost.
And I think this is definitely true in the active parenting years, that consistent worry. Like little baby Grayson lives with us. And so I have the monitor at night often, you know, Abby wants to go out. I have the monitor quite a lot, actually. And so you're just constantly thinking about that little baby. Is he okay? Like, is he sleeping? Oh, did I hear a peep? Like, he's in this little phase where he cries himself to sleep, which I hate. Like, I'm like, I've even gone down and rocked him for like half an hour. And then you put him in the crib and he cries again. It's so cute. He stands at the crib with his blanket on the crib and he puts his little head down because he's so tired. He's falling asleep. And then he wakes up to cry again. And then, so he's falling asleep, standing up. And then eventually he just lays down. I'm like, oh, it's a phase, Lisa. You have to live through it. But just in telling you that little story, like, you can feel, you remember your babies, you remember this. And it's just this heightened, when you're a parent, you're just in a heightened state all the time. They're driving. Where are they? What's the thing? Did we get the prescription? Have we signed the permission slip? Do they have the birthday party thing? When's the next time we need a physical? Like, you're just in a heightened running around state. And that does serve us. Like, there is some of that that you need to do as a parent. When you go into the empty nesting, you are so used to that is how you get things done and how you stay on top of things, that it is really hard to settle into, no, everything's done. I remember it was a couple of years ago, I was like 5 o'clock at night and I was like, well, on like a Wednesday, I was like, well, I guess I do a puzzle now. It was just so weird that there weren't 8,000 things that I needed to do anymore. And if you don't know that's coming or you haven't recognized it, you will fill that time with to-dos that probably don't even need to be done because you're just used to checking to-dos off your list. And so it is freeing, but at first it's really weird. It's kind of like the first time you clean out a space and all of a sudden you have an empty cabinet, but there's nothing to put in that cabinet. So you leave it empty. Weirdest thing ever.
Oh yeah. I have some empty cabinets now and it is weird, but I like it because we have a goal, hopefully in the next couple of years, of downsizing. So I purposely want to leave those cabinets empty. So I have room in a smaller kitchen.
Yeah, but it's not what we see other people doing. It's not what we see on TV. It's not what we expected it would be. And so the more we can talk about it and normalize it, you'd be like, oh, okay, I'm in this generation, in this phase of life, in this circumstance. And so I'm going to listen to the people who are matching that and then match mine. Like, I did not have empty cabinets when I was in the active parenting years and running every which way. So there are different seasons to different things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was acquiring.
Acquiring. And you could stay in acquiring too long. It's bad. Did you want to talk more about, you know, just overall mental health and how this has helped you, the getting organized?
I just read some articles recently about the relationship between clutter and psychological health. And I think Joshua Becker may have talked about it on his blog, but it really is for many people and me definitely. If I see too many things lying out around the house, it creates a huge amount of mental stress. So when things are put up in cabinets, in the Sunday basket, when I don't have things sitting around, it just reduces that anxiety, that stress, that monkey mind that can happen. And I think people don't realize that too often.
Well, also, I think you may realize, but you're like, but it's going to take forever to get it to the point where I don't feel that way. Like, I don't have that much time and energy to get my house to look that way, to where I wouldn't have the anxiety. And this has served me so long. Like I mentioned in the active parenting years, like the not stopping running has served me. So that must be the answer. And it is uncomfortable to change your habits. Mm-hmm. So there is a change, but I don't think we always even recognize how much distraction we have in our lives and how much anxiety that we have until it's not there anymore.
Exactly. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I mean, the thing you do by taking small pieces of your house, small chunks of time, is really, you know, it does make it doable. I did more of mine, instead of 15 minutes a day, I'd do more like 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday so I could get the same amount done, mm-hmm. but in a concentrated period of time. But it's, if you take that time, it's amazing what you can do.
And I, you know, I think it's the fact too, I mean, you had decluttered many times and you were a fairly organized person when you started Organize 365. Part of what I've tried to create in the Productive Home Solution is a comprehensive lesson plan of what it would look like done. As a professional organizer, I would go into houses that were, I mean, from the outside looked fairly organized, because usually the people that hired us, you know, had some money. So they had some of these systems put in, it had just gotten overwhelmed. And I know how I go through a house top to bottom and get it totally organized for that homeowner. It takes a week. It takes so many hours, so many people. And I just took that into lesson plans, because as a personal homeowner, I only had a couple hours on the weekends. So when I did a couple hours on the weekends, I would get like the main living areas organized. And of course, by the time I went back to go again, they were disorganized again. So I just kept, you know, circling around in the same areas instead of tackling the house from top to bottom, like I did as a professional organizer. I think sometimes, or what I'm hoping that the Productive Home Solution offers, is that actual lesson plan, that if you just follow the lesson plan, when you're done, however long it takes you, you will find out your whole entire house is organized because a professional organizer has made you a lesson plan as if they were doing it in 1 week.
That was true for me. And that's what helped me say, okay, I'm done. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I only have to say, okay, a couple times a year, go through my clothes and throw out things that look ratty and don't fit and decide to get a few more. Go through my kitchen just occasionally and say, okay, I haven't used this pot in 3 years. I can get rid of it. So it's just very little now that I have to do.
How does it feel to be able to say that you are organized?
It feels freeing. Because it takes that weight off of your mind, and then you have that time and just that mental capacity to do what you want to do, even if it's, you know, reading a book or taking a walk, or for me, learning something new. I'm always, just like you, Lisa, I'm always studying and learning something new, but it takes away the guilt of that. To say, okay, you know, I've got to be cleaning or organizing my house. You still do have to clean, but even the cleaning is easier.
Yeah, it's kind of like you are the schoolgirl on Saturday and you're like, Mom and Dad, my room is done. Can I go play now? And so you've said to yourself, my house is done. I can go play now.
Exactly.
And you know you can because you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to be done. I want to let everybody go play, because we're going to go play. We're going to go play. But some of us are playing with a lot of guilt because we're not done. And we don't know what done is. We don't know how to get done.
Exactly.
So I want you to have fun. I want you to play, and I want you to have fun playing like a kid who is carefree and just going to play until the dinner bell rings or you get tracked down on your bike and you have to come home at the end of the night because the fireflies are out and you've already caught them in the little jar and it's time to go to bed with your fan on it. Like, I want you to have the freedom of being a kid, but not the nagging of, I haven't done my adulting. Like, I want the adulting done so you can play, play, play.
Right. And it is like, just like school. I mean, there's still work you have to do, but then you can take time off on the weekends or whenever just to have fun.
Yes. Is there anything else you want to share or anything else you wish you knew sooner?
I wish I had had the Sunday basket sooner, because that is a great tool to help just organize your to-dos and your day-to-day activities. The other thing I would encourage people is, if any of the listeners are empty nesters and you haven't gotten the productive home solution, even if you think you are organized, I would get it, because you will thank yourself. Your future self will thank you. Your kids will thank you, because they come into a place, because it is inevitable that things are going to happen. We may get older. We may not be able to take care of everything, but somebody else, you're going to make it such that those, your children, the others in your life, can take over when they need to. And it's just not a problem for them.
It's just such peace of mind.
It is.
You've done your part. And I think sometimes we don't do our part, not because we're abdicating our responsibility, but just because we don't know how. We don't know what done looks like. And we've done the most that we know how to do that we can figure out on our own, but we don't know how to make it better than it is today. And we keep trying to look for the solution of how to figure it out on our own, because the message from society has been, you should inherently know how to do this on your own. And I want to say, no, that's why nobody's organized all the way.
Yeah.
You can't figure it out on your own.
I mean, we know we need a professional to help us write our will. Why should we not think we need a professional to help us get our home and paperwork organized?
Good point. I think that's a good point to end on. Is there any advice that you'd give to anyone just starting out?
Start with a Sunday basket if you haven't, and get your day-to-day paperwork and schedule on an even keel. Then that'll give you a little time to do the other parts.
Gina, I would say I look forward to seeing you in planning day, but I'm pretty sure you're going to watch the replay. I look forward to following you in the app.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Lisa.
Thank you.